are listening to Radio Maria, and this is Father Toby with your word for today. And let's begin with the gospel of this Spy Wednesday, which is taken from Matthew chapter 26. One of the 12, the man called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you prepared to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 silver pieces, and from that moment he looked for an opportunity to betray him. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus to say, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" "Go to so-and-so in the city," he replied, "and say to him, 'The master says, my time is near. It is at your house that I am keeping Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples did what Jesus told them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, he was at table with the 12 disciples, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you solemnly, one of you is about to betray me." They were greatly distressed and started asking him in turn, "Not I, Lord, surely?" He answered, "Someone who has dipped his hand into the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man is going to his fate, as the scriptures say he will. But alas for that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, who was to betray him, asked in his turn, "Not I, Rabbi, surely?" "They are your own words," answered Jesus. So Spy Wednesday marks the end of our quiet preparations for the rich drama that will now unfurl throughout the Triduum, starting with tomorrow evening's Mass of the Lord's Supper. The barren aspect of Lent, marked in a particularly stark way during Passiontide with the veiling of statues, comes to the close, and we are now on the cusp of the most dramatic 3 days in the greatest drama of history. In today's gospel, in today's readings, we see an obvious parallel. In the first reading, which we didn't hear, so you don't have to be worried about not spotting the parallel. If you were hearing this in church, where you would have heard the first reading, then you might be thinking, "What? I didn't spot the parallel." But there's a parallel between today's first reading from Isaiah and today's gospel. I think it's an obvious one, though, as I said. We hear of the suffering servant foretold of in Isaiah, who made no resistance, nor turned away, who offered his back to those who struck him, and his cheeks to those who tore at my beard, who did not cover his face against insult and spittle. And we hear that, and we see the parallel with the serenity of Jesus, whose passion is about to commence in Matthew's gospel. The man who knows he is about to be betrayed, whose betrayer sits alongside him and says, "Surely not I," and just stays where he is supposed to be. Yet on another level, the readings offer very contrasting accounts of discipleship. There is a great disjunct between the suffering servant's response in the face of the will of God and that of Judas. Today is a good time to reflect on our discipleship throughout Lent. Have we grown more like Christ, or if we're being honest, have we become more like Judas? Have we come closer to the Lord, or more distant? We may feel that the disciple in Isaiah represents our idealized selves at the start of Lent, and we might feel a certain disappointment at how far we have fallen short. We might, though, at least find ourselves taking solace in the fact that we haven't betrayed Christ like Judas. And we rightly view betrayal as something hugely destructive. It's often not the particular sinful act that constitutes the betrayal that causes such revulsion in us, but rather the pain at the fracturing of the bonds of trust. We know that trust is what makes relationships possible. It's what holds society together. And accordingly, it agonizes us when we see these bonds damaged. I remember in an old episode of Friends, which used to be one of my favorite sitcoms, although I have real issues with it now, but in an old episode of Friends, Chandler kisses the girlfriend of Joey, and Joey doesn't care very much about the particular girl, but what he does care about is the betrayal by Chandler. And Chandler, in a sense, to win back Joey's friendship, actually puts himself in a box and has to remain in there silent for, I think, 6 hours. And whilst I'm not sure the writers of the script intended it, there was a different subtext going on. In a certain way, Chandler's going into this box, which very much resembles a coffin. It's a certain image of the death that betrayal brings about. And we can see how a marriage can take years to recover from an affair, if at all, and that even then things might not ever be the same. And we see how abuse by a few priests in the church has for many harmed their trust and respect for all priests, for the entire church. However, as we reflect on our failings and our cooperation with God's goodness, whilst we should be wary of over-scrupulosity, many of us probably need to guard against being blasé about little sins, about thinking, well, I've been bad, but not as bad as Judas. The little white lies we may tell erode not only our integrity, but trust in us. We have a tendency to think that only the sins which go beyond my regular sins, only those ones are truly serious. But all sin in the cosmic order of things is serious, and I think more serious than we often like to think. And we should also remember, as we prepare to commemorate and live out Christ's death and resurrection, that Christ did not just die to save us from the punishment due for our sins, but to save us from sin itself. Christ is not coming just to save us from sins, but calling us to participate in his divine life. And that means leaving sin behind, even the small ones. Because of what Christ has done, we are no longer slaves to sin. The freedom Christ has set us free, St. Paul writing to the Galatians tells us. And so to view our own sins as inevitable, and thus as excusable, is to have a lonely and mean view of what Jesus does for us. What we commemorate in the next few days is something much greater than a simply wiping the slate clean. And perhaps some of you are now at the end of Lent truly fed up with your sins, and yet you feel yourself in a rut. And I know that's very often the case for me. How to move forwards? Well, it's very easy for me to say that if we love Jesus, we'll keep his commandments. It's true, but we don't love as much as we want to, and it can be hard to do. But last night in my spiritual reading in our lovely little house oratory before the Blessed Sacrament, I was reading one of my favourite spiritual writers, Blessed Columba Marmion, and in fact, starting again his book, Christ, the Life of the Soul. And just before I went to bed, though, I flicked forward about 200 pages to the section on sin, thinking of what I'd spoken of on the radio yesterday, and the insidious nature of sin. And he reintroduced to me a concept that I don't think of enough and certainly don't preach on enough. Hatred of sin. We should hate our sins because they offend God who has given everything. And we should hate our sins because whether we think it through or not, they are at their most basic level a rejection of God, a rejection of goodness, a rejection of holiness, and a refusal of the invitation to participate in his life. There's more to be said on this, but for now, as we get closer to the commemoration of our Lord's death on a cross, let's pray this prayer of Blessed Columba Marmion. O my Jesus, teach me to detest the sin which makes justice demand such suffering from you. Grant that I may unite all my own pain to your suffering, so that through them I may overcome my faults and please you even here, even now.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus.
This was a Radio Maria podcast. If you enjoyed it, do please click like and subscribe on your podcast provider or leave us a review. Every bit of feedback helps increase our visibility and allows us to reach more people with the message of Christ's saving truth. And if you don't already, you can listen to Radio Maria live either online or on DAB in selected regions of the UK. We'd love for you to call in live and be part of the conversation. See our website, radiomariaengland.uk, for more details and a full schedule of programmes. And do please consider making a donation so that we can keep making more programmes like this. We are completely dependent upon the generosity of our listeners.